The royal blood of Jesus, amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, let me invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we've been preaching on the ABCs of the Christian life. I got to the letter Q, all the way from A. Now we are on the letter Q. We're getting close to being done, amen. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q. And I thought, Lord, what is fundamental to the Christian life if it starts with the letter Q? What do we have? And I thought, well, quenching the Spirit. That's a good one. We need to not quench the Spirit, but we talked about the Holy Spirit. And so I thought, well, maybe there's something else. And then I got to this topic today that I'm going to be preaching to you. And I think if you will listen to the whole message, you will have walked out of here encouraged, motivated, inspired. I also believe you will be taught the right doctrine. You will be taught on how to fully live the Christian life when you're faced with things you're not sure what to do about it. That's important because a lot of times we go through times in our lives where we're not sure what to do about it and we're easily led astray to the left or to the right. And so this message tonight, I think, if you'll give it an opportunity, will be an encouragement to you in that regard. Are you there in 1 Timothy chapter 1? Say yes. Amen. Yes. And Timothy, of course, is the receiver of this letter written under the inspiration of God by the Apostle Paul. And Paul writes to Timothy in verse 3, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." I want you to look at the little word in verse 4, questions. Q is for questions. Father, we ask that you bless the preaching now and the teaching. Let it be of a blessing to the church. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us to know what to do when we're asked questions. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Let me first off just go by way of explanation to tell you a little bit about what we see in this passage. In verse 3, that Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to stay. I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus. I want you to stay. I want you to not be discouraged because of the ministry there. Pastor Timothy, as the apostle here, planted this church, and now Timothy is pastoring in this church as a sort of a worker with Brother Paul. He's telling Timothy, I know that the Christian life is tough. I know you get discouraged. I know sometimes, Timothy, your stomach hurts. And he talks in this passage about taking basically what we would call NyQuil or something like that. I know you've got some issues. I know you've got some physical problems, probably some financial challenges, maybe some family issues that you got going on, Timothy. I know that the population is not always patting you on the back. And I know not everybody fills up the church. I know not everybody has the same amount of faith and courage that you have in the Word of God. I hope you're listening, Christian. I'm about to start preaching. It's coming on right now. Praise God Almighty. Listen, he's telling Timothy, I know sometimes it doesn't go in your favor, but you cannot quit on God. Timothy, stay put. Stay where God's called you to be. Don't abandon the ship. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up the ministry. Christians, so many times we'll go through things in our Christian lives, and it's so good to open up the Bible and God tell us to stay where you're supposed to be. Don't leave the room at this church, amen. Don't throw in the towel with God. Get involved and stay involved, amen. That's what he's saying. So, number one, he's telling to stay put. And I want to tell you, church member, if God's given you a place to be, stay put. Amen. Number two, he tells them, you need to stop some things. What things does he tell them to stop? He says, I want you to abide. That means to stay, to remain still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You see, some of the biggest problems that we as believers face in our lives come from without the church. troubles and tribulations and temptations and trials and tribulations and suffering and turmoil and misunderstanding and injustice and indignities that are brought upon us by a lost and unconscious world. But I want you to know there's even a greater cancer against the Christian. There's even a greater trouble against the believer in Christ. There's even a greater enemy that you and I need to watch out for. And it's not without the doors of the church. It's within the doors of the church. He said, you need to stop those that are in the congregation that are preaching false doctrine and are teaching a false gospel. I'm going to tell you something, friend, by way of introduction now. You need to stay where God's called you to be, and you need to stop listening to people that are preaching the wrong doctrine, the false doctrine. Now, you talk about all them cults and false religions, false systems. And there's a plethora of these types of things. A myriad of false preachers and false preaching out there. You need to know what it is. And Timothy is told, you need to stop it. You need to stop the people from doing that. I like when Brother Stewart and I get to talk, and he says, I'm just like a sheepdog. I said, amen, brother. We need some good sheepdog around here. Sometimes the devil doesn't always show himself like a wolf. But he shows himself like a sheep. And he lives and walks around, but he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So just because somebody says something and throws a little Bible in it, or you hear something and it may have a biblical word in it, doesn't mean you got to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Right. So Timothy is told to stop those that are teaching false doctrine. And now the third thing he says is good too. Verse number 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. See, the end result of going to church, of being a Christian, of preaching, the end result of my preaching to you as my church is this: charity out of a pure heart. Pure love. There's no faith in it. It's just, you're just doing it from the heart. You live for the Lord from the heart. The end of the commandment, the end result, what God wants to see out of our lives, of the commandment, of the Word of God, in the gospel ministry, is charity from a pure heart and of a good conscience. And thirdly, of unfeigned faith. See, there's some blessings in the true gospel. There's some true qualities, amen, Brother Kevin, of the true gospel. And Timothy, he wants Timothy to see the real results. He wants Timothy to notice what brings about the real results, and that's the real teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Stay put. Stop those who teach false doctrine. And Timothy, I want you to see what God blesses. He blesses those that will preach the right things. And so this, by way of introduction, leads me to my message tonight. There are going to come times in your life, like in this particular church, the first century church, where the church members are going to hear questions. And they're going to listen to teaching. And that's just what we do here. We listen to preaching and doctrine and teaching at the church. But as believers, we want to hear what God has to say. And that Satan knows that. And he knows we want to see God. We want to experience God. We want to know God. And that we are eager to find and hear God's voice in our life. And Satan knows that. Satan will capitalize on the things that are good to get something evil to come about out of it. In this particular situation of this church, Satan would use people's giving heed to fables. You know what a fable is? A fable is a myth. If I'm not mistaken, the Greek word behind this word fables is mythos, and it's where we get our English word myth. And if they were teaching myths and fables and legends, philosophical myths, incorporating this into the doctrine of the Bible, of the gospel, of the Christian life as a teaching, you see what I'm saying? If they're incorporating, these people were incorporating legends and myths and fables, then it wouldn't produce the right results. And then the second thing that Satan would use is endless genealogies. Now look what it said. It ministers questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Over in chapter 6, verse 4, there's another comparison. Well, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such turn away. There is such a thing as a stupid question. And you and I need to recognize what that is. Now I give you three things tonight. Number one, ask God. Ask God. There's going to come some times in your life, my friend, when you're going to need to know something. You're going to need a heavenly wisdom. Ask God. There's times in our life when we need to know, God, where do you want me to move? Amen, Brother Jared, where do you want me to go to church? Lord, where's my church? Where's my place? Where do you want? Ask God first. Lord, I don't know. Do you want me to retire? Do you want me to resign? Do you want me to switch careers? Do you want me to do? Ask God. Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this situation. I don't know what to do. Ask God. Father, I need strength, Lord. I wish I could talk to somebody that could encourage me because I'm really discouraged right now. Ask God. Lord, I'm struggling with this. I can't get over this cough. I hope it's not coronavirus. I don't know what to do. I wish I had somebody that I could talk to, somebody that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I wish I knew somebody that was able to know the great physician. Ask God. See, a lot of times we have questions ourselves, and that's good. We need to ask questions in our Christian life. And you're not going to grow in your Christian life if you don't ask God a question or two. I think it's great when the disciples would say something like this, Lord, will you teach us to pray? Lord, we don't even know how to pray, but man, when we listen to you pray, you can do it. Will you show us how to do it? And God taught them the great prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. You know, we don't learn things from God if we don't ask. A lot of times we'll listen to what that religious group says and they steer us wrong. Or we'll turn on the TV and listen to what that televangelist says. And it was told the seeds of faith. Amen. And we'll reach way down deep into our pocket and sow that seed and God's going to bless us. Well, I want you to ask yourself a question. Have you asked God to bless you before you listen to what man says to you? Sometimes we get the cart before the horse. Ask God. Most of our questions can be answered if we would simply ask God. Over in the book of James tonight, chapter 4. Don't give up on the church. James chapter 4, verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? He said that you lust, that you have not. That means you really, really desire it. Oh, man, you're lusting after whatever that situation or need is, but you don't ever get it fulfilled. You even kill, and you desire to have, but you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. Why? Because you ask not. You ask and you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. I think God's telling us we need to ask Him. Over in James chapter 1, verse 5, I love this verse. If any of you lack wisdom, and there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to need God's wisdom. And there's going to come times in my life when I'm going to need God's wisdom. I'm going to need a fresh word from heaven. Amen. Look at what he says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Start by asking God, friends, is what I tell you tonight. that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We're going to come back to this passage here in just a minute, but let me just tell you, God wants you to come and ask him. There's a story in the Old Testament of a prophet by the name of Balaam. And at the beginning, it would seem that he really did have a relationship with God, because God would speak to him and give him a revelation and a vision. He would pass that on to the next people in a good way. But we know Balaam was somewhat of a corrupt prophet. He certainly showed his true corrupt colors later. He loved money and riches and wealth. And that got him. The love of money is the root of all evil. But there was a time when Balaam, I think, was not only respected in the sight of heaven, but he was respected in the sight of men. And Balaam was called by the kings of Moab to come to help to curse God's people. It happened to be the Israelites. And the kings of Moab and other countries, they wanted the Israelites to be cursed. They wanted the Israelites to be vanquished and not to be a force that they would have to reckon with. And so they sought out this prophet Balaam. Well, they sent messages to Balaam, and Balaam said, "I cannot do it. God told me no." He went to bed that night, slept on it, woke up the next morning and said, "God said no, I'm sorry, I can't help you in this pursuit." So the king sent another ambassador to go back. And he said, "Let me sleep on it." And God said the next day, or God said that night, "When I tell you to go, I'm going to let you go, but you're going to say what I tell you to say to these people." So Balaam, I think, went in the wrong attitude, because when he didn't go, God did something unique. He had a donkey. I don't know, this is something you may have seen off the movie Shrek, but this is funny. You have to read it. It's in the book of Judges, chapter number 23. You have to read it to believe it. I'm talking about asking God. God wants to speak to you and me if we just ask him first. He should be first in line. So what happened was, he gets on this donkey, and he's riding into where he wants to go. But there's an angel with a flaming sword called the Angel of the Lord that's blocking his path, that donkey's path. Balaam doesn't see that angel, but the donkey did. And the donkey turns off the road and goes down into the field. And Balaam beat the donkey on the head. And then it got to another position where the donkey realizes again that the angel's blocking again. And he's already in this wedge spot, and the donkey mashes Balaam's foot against the wall. Whack! He hits the donkey on the head again out of anger. And he almost begins to curse at this donkey. And then the donkey begins to walk a little further, and right in this narrow passage is this angel of the Lord that Balaam does not see. And then the donkey collapses. He just stops. He can't go left. He can't go right. He can't back up. He certainly can't go forward, because there's an angel there with a flaming sword. And the donkey, the Bible says, falls to the ground. And don't you know, Balaam, I believe he had enough. He even said that he later would say, "If I had a sword, I would have killed him." But don't you know, when he got that donkey, he hit the donkey the third time, and then God opened that donkey's mouth so that it could talk. And the donkey said, "Why are you hitting me these three times?" And the miracle of the story is when Balaam starts to talk to his own donkey. He said, "Because you keep stopping and you hit my foot, you hurt me, you're not doing what I want you to do. You're not going where I want you to go." And the donkey said, "There's an angel of the Lord standing here, you big dummy, that you cannot see, but there is a soldier, an angel of the Lord, with a flaming sword. If I go any further, you are going to die. I'm stopping because I don't want to die." And then God opened Balaam's eyes to see there was an angel. righteous. Ask. Ask me. Ask me. Lord, how did you always exist? Go to God and ask Him. Lord, where did Cain get his wife? Go to God and ask Him. Lord, why do good people suffer? Go to God and ask Him. See, there's some questions that people ask that get them so mixed up. But if you'll talk to God, most of life's biggest questions can be answered if you just ask God.
Amen.
Second thing I want to tell you is act based upon God's Word. When my kids ask me something, I can tell when they're just asking me something and when they're asking with the intent to do whatever it is that I ask them, that they're asking. Dad, is there anything you want more? Is there anything more you want? There's a way that they ask, and I know they don't want to do no more. They're done. They don't have any intention to do whatever I'm going to give them to answer. But there's other times they ask, is there anything I can help? Is there any more that I can do? And I know that they have the right attitude. See, when you and I speak to God and we ask God, sometimes we won't go to God because we're not going to do whatever it is. That's why we won't ask Him to give them. But as a child of God, if you want God to start speaking to you through Him, He's going to speak to you through this book. Amen? He speaks to us through the Word. And so when we ask, go to God whenever you're asking Him about something. Ask Him with a willing heart that you're going to do what His Word says about it. There's a story in the Old Testament in the book of Samuel. And Samuel was a little boy. And he hears his voice while he's sleeping. And it said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel would wake up and he didn't know what it was. So he went in as a young little worker in the church there in the temple. He woke up for the second time and he went and told Eli, the high priest. He said, man, this place is spooky. I'm hearing some voices at night. He said, what is the voice? He said, it's just calling my name. And then I wake up and there's nothing there. And Samuel, I think that happened maybe a couple of times. And Eli began to realize who was calling Samuel. It was God. And Eli told Samuel, he said, Samuel, I want you to go back this time. And this time I want you to, when you hear that voice, I want you to say, here I am, Lord. Speak. And don't you know, the third time, when he heard that voice, Samuel, Samuel, he woke up and he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Here am I. When you and I are talking to God, we need to say that. Here I am, Lord. What do you need from me? It's different to say, now, God, I want you to do this for me. I need this answer. I need this question answered. Sometimes I wonder if God's like, well, I need some questions answered too. So we need to not do that. We need to go to the Lord with a heart that says, here I am. What do you want from me, Lord? I'm willing to do it. That's faith. Amen? Be prepared to act. I like the story of Manoah in the Old Testament. One of my favorite stories. Angie and I love this story. You remember the great judge, Samson? The magnificent, strong, and mighty Samson! Oh, I love Samson. Man, he's a cool Bible story. But don't you know that before Samson was born, his mother had an angelic experience. An angel spoke to her in the Old Testament and prophesied and told her she was going to have a child and he's going to be this great Nazarite. He said, but you can't drink wine, you can't cut his hair, and he's not going to be able to drink wine. He's going to be a Nazarite, he's going to do great things for God. Man, she was so excited, she was so beside herself. She was went out in a big hurry and told her husband, Manoah. Now, Manoah, he heard that, and again, here it is. He didn't know what to do. My girl, you're crazy. Angel coming talking to you. You've been out in the sun too long. But he got the question in this. And he went back to the same spot. And that angel spoke to him. And he asked a question. He said, Lord, what would you have us to do? He said, God, I know you're going to do it. Lord, I know you're going to bring us an answer to our prayer, that you're going to give us a child. But Father, you have a plan for his life. What do you want us to do? What is our part in this? What responsibility do I have in this? And let me just give a word to you parents out there. You have a God-given calling, a God-given ordination, a God-given destiny. You need to do what God tells you to do. I'm not trying to raise my kids based on the Smiths tonight. I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses tonight. I'm not trying to be like everybody else. I talked to God a long time ago, and I said, Father, if you bless me with these children, you just show me how to raise them for your honor and glory, and I'll try to do what you want me to do. Sometimes we don't get our prayer answers because we're not asking with a willing to act. And the third thing that I want to tell you is something we need to avoid. Look at the passage. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is something that I think a lot of Christians need to learn. There are no stupid questions. But when it comes to the Bible and to living the Christian life, there are some stupid questions. And we need to know what they are. And we need to, number three, we need to avoid. Avoid. We need to ask God. We need to act based upon God's Word, God's according to His will in our life. And number three, we need to avoid questions that have no end and that do not edify. Look what he said. Charge them, some. Not everybody's going to do this, but there's going to be some people that are going to do things that are either going to ask you these types of questions, or they're going to cause you to ask these types of questions. Charge them, some, that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables, myths, legends, conspiracy theories. I could go on for a little while tonight. Myths and fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now listen, here's the thing. How many of y'all been asked a stupid question? I know I have. But there have been times too that people have said some things in the religious community that I've watched that ministers further questions to that Christian, and they have made a shipwreck of their whole Christian life because they could not get off of that question. Now here's my message to you. I've told you to ask God. Seek that heavenly wisdom. Amen? Start there. And then ask God, but be willing to act upon what God wants you to do in your life. But there are going to come times where you're going to have to avoid certain questionings because they're only going to lead to more unending questions, and it pulls you away from truly following after God. Now listen, I know where I stand in my political views. I know where I stand in my ethical views. But if somebody comes and asks me questions, I have to be careful how much entertainment I'm going to give to just constant questions, more questions, ministering a deeper thought. Well, how far does this rabbit hole go? And sometimes I've seen, even in my own life, I've gotten stuck in a rabbit hole chasing answers that were never there. Y'all get what I'm saying? And the church had to get my stinking foot on the right, and the preacher had to get my foot on the left and yank my head up out that hole. Because I got to chasing a rabbit trail and asking questions and entertaining questions and ministering of questions. And I just thought, man, what's the purpose of this thing? You know, people have to say things like this. Well, if God loves us, why do we go through bad things? That's a good question. I'd love to answer that or begin to scratch at answering that. But that question ain't for everybody to waste their time trying to solve. This is life. This is what it is. That we're here. I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to spend eternity Asking yourself that question to die and go to hell, that's your choice. But I'm not going to do that. I understand God is a God of love. And I understand He sent His Son to die to pay for our sin. I understand there is a sin problem in this world and that Christ solves it. And one of these days, the Bible says He's going to make everything new. I just want to make sure that I'm right with God. Amen. And I'll let God solve all these problems. There could be any problems that I don't understand. But I know God is in control. And I know that He sits on the throne tonight. Amen. But that question won't be good for everybody as they just get off that rabbit trail. What about conspiracy theories? How many of y'all stayed up late and listened to them 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock show about aliens? Well, we believe there was a vine over here, this alien that landed over here on the LaRue County. Brother Nathan Housley looks like an alien, talks like an alien. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get to listen to that thing and you'll start to question some stuff. Well, if there's aliens, then what is God? Well, if there's aliens, how is God against the fall in your life? Because you started chasing that rabbit trail. I'm trying to think of some other things. We ask questions that ask us. Conspiratorial in nature. You know what I'm talking about? I don't have any running illustrations coming up in my mind. But as a believer in Christ, we need to know when to stop entertaining these questions and just move on with God. You know, Jesus didn't answer every question. There was a story that I just thought of just now. When in the news, this tower fell over and killed a bunch of people. I think it's in Luke chapter 13. This tower fell over and a bunch of people died. Now that's sad. No one would want to hear that. You know, it'd be like something like a building collapsed in LaRue County and killed 15 workers at the bank. You know, that would be sad news. Well, they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, do you think that happened because they were sinners and God was punishing them? Jesus didn't even answer the question. He said, nay, unless you repent, you will also perish. What was He doing? He wasn't going to get down that rabbit trail. He wasn't going to entertain their foolish stuff. But He got to the point, you need to get saved. Well, I want you to answer that question. I'm not answering your question. You need to get saved. There's going to come times in life where you're just going to have to avoid these questions. Lord, why am I not 6 foot tall? Why can't I have Jared's build, God? I wish that I was over 6 feet tall. Y'all listen tonight? Well, Lord, I ain't gonna serve you until you can give me the answer to this question. I'm mad. Or wonder why that couple could have a baby, but we can't. Or, why did my parents die at such a young age? They're starting to come to me now. Oh, I asked the other question. Wonder why that person has so pretty and I'm not. I mean, it's good now, ain't it? We ask questions like, we say things like, wonder why they got so much talent and I don't. Wonder how come they got all that money. There we go. We're getting into it now. How come he keeps getting all that money? He got a bass boat, a pontoon boat, and he got 5 boats and a golf cart. Come on now. Lord, and we'll just ask the minister more and more questions. And before you know it, you start to doubt God's love for you. Before you know it, you start to get mad at everything the preacher says. You get mad at the church. Oh, you're just like a crawdad. On your way out of the church, man, you just pinch your back and say, man, mad at everybody. Because these questions just took you down a long and lonely, dreary road. I've seen Satan's greatest tool to me involve discouragement, but also questions. Constantly. If you live your life based on questions,
you're not going to grow or move forward. I'm talking about speculation questions. I'm not talking about, Lord, can you help me? Can you? I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about, hath God surely said? Remember Eve in the garden? What did Satan do? He didn't say, "Ooh, look, Eve, I'm the devil." He didn't come out of the bush and say, "Hey, it's me, the devil." Sister Kenny, Satan wouldn't wait for me to come around the corner and go, "Boom, kill, it's me, the devil."
No. Satan does stuff like this. Did God really say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Hey, that's a nice. He has a nice trust. That's his own life. But why does they get a? He's got a bigger truck. How can God bless him with a bigger one? And then you start to dwell on that question. See, he don't come. He didn't come out to eat and jump out like that. He kind of slid down the old tree like an old snake, didn't he? He said, "Hath God surely said?" He began to cast doubt on what God says. He has not stopped using that tool. He makes us doubt God. He inspires doubt. Disbelief, which leads to us getting derailed in our Christian lives. Oh my goodness. If you can learn how to avoid stupid questions, half of your battles are won. Amen? I'm going to read this one more time and I'm going to shut up and let y'all get out of here. Amen? Don't everybody say amen at once. If any man teach any otherwise, consent and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. What about angels? You know, people ask a lot of questions about angels. And if you're not careful, you start going on and entertaining these questions, your mind is going to get so unplugged from the faith of God's Word and the right doctrine, you're almost going to be like, man, that's a cool statue. I'm going to have that in my house of this angel. Then before you know it, you're almost praying to it. You'll be talking to it, committing idolatry. And then when the preacher gets on and says, "You shouldn't have angelic doubt," man, you're offended. Then you leave. And your faith is pretty much shot. You say, "No, that won't happen." Yeah, it does. People get sidetracked off of questions all the time. Even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are godly. He is proud, knowing nothing. Questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil sermons. See, I can tell when somebody ain't living right and they're not basing their life off of God's statements, but they're living off of the world's questions and the devil's questions. They're people of envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. That's what it said right there. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, he says, what does he say to do? Withdraw thyself. Avoid it. Get out of it. Withdraw thyself. Over here he says, to avoid it. Don't be a part of it. But be a part of the truth, amen. Be a part of the gospel. Be a part of the right preaching. Get you that King James Bible, amen. Get the Word of God. Read it, study it, and pray. And ask God and have a desire to do whatever God shows you and tells you through His Word. He speaks to us through His Word. Just pray about it and God will show it. I mean, how many times have we prayed about something and then a song comes on and bam, God says, "That's what I was saying." Or how many times we go out there and somebody says something or quotes a verse of Scripture and God's like, "Bam, that's what I'm trying to tell you." Or how many times you've gone through somewhere and then you're praying about something and you've just been praying for maybe for days and it seems like there's nothing there and then all of a sudden God sends a preacher and he says something to you or gives you a word of encouragement or somebody gives you a call or you get a letter or a note and God's like, "Bam, that's what I'm trying to tell you." I love it when God does that. I think it's so cool. The end of the commandment is charity, unquestionable faith, unqualified
conscience, and unconditional love. Pure heart, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. That's what God wants out of our lives. Amen? You know, there are people that have all the wealth and money in the world, and they have no happiness. They have no joy. Amen, Brother Stephen, as you were talking about joy. Dive, drugs, suicide, alcohol abuse. But if you'll just follow God's path in your life, mom, dad, brother, sister, if you'll follow God's path, just do what He says step by step, you'll have that pure heart, good conscience, and faith and thing that He's talking about. That's what grows the church. That's what grows the church. So I want to encourage you with this message tonight, brother. Really, let's get ready to take up the offering. I want to make sure we have an opportunity to do that. And Bradley, since you're up front and center, won't you come on up too?